Welcome to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. In this monthly digest, I cover the main ideas and talking points, the Cliff Notes version, if you will, from the previous month's releases on my YouTube channel. Please visit www.youtube.com/theyoutubecfp to find these and any other videos on the topics of financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. Thanks for listening and enjoy this episode. What is up, everybody? This is Dominique Henderson, the YouTube CFP and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we are helping our clients to do more with their life and money. And I want to welcome you to this month's summary episode, our executive summary for all of the videos we have posted on the YouTube channel in the month of May. So I started this format at the beginning of May for April's episodes, and I got some really good feedback. So I want to continue it and keep it going. I think it just allows you to get what I would call the Cliff Notes version of everything we talked about on the YouTube channel. But like I say, please subscribe for the more detailed versions, the full episodes, if you will, which will give you access to any tools or resources that I mentioned during the episode. So I don't want to keep you waiting. Let's jump right into what we talked about in week one. So week one, and I disclaimed this when I originally aired the episode, that I don't review a ton of finance apps, but in this case, I thought the Honeydew app deserved my attention, or was worth my attention, because it advertises to be a finance app for couples. And as a finance professional, I thought my thoughts on this particular thing would maybe particularly interesting for my audience and for people that are interested in using an app like this. And my thoughts are that money talks typically start, or are best started, with words and not with technology. And what I mean by that is, if you don't have a construct for communicating with your spouse or your significant other about finances, this is not where you want to start, because I think it can actually contribute to a lot of confusion in the relationship. But I definitely think technology can obviously facilitate an already established dialogue, or make that better, improve it, however you want to look at that, basically through the transparency. And so the Honeydew app has a lot of bells and whistles and features that I think could help most people, not too different than anything else that is already out on the market, like Personal Capital or some of the other apps. But what I really found the power in this app was from the transparency. And I'll tell you that beyond the what I would call moderate utility that someone like myself could gain from the app, or anyone else, not even just a financial professional, I really think the power comes in a way for parents that have joint accounts with their younger children to discuss finances. Financial literacy is a big passion of mine, and I think that not enough children grow into healthy adult money behaviors because it's not often talked about in a very open and transparent format, which this app can definitely provide. So I think it introduces a rather, what I would call, a meaningful way to increase money consciousness and awareness. If you as a parent are willing to seize some of the teachable moments that arise from spending decisions that your children make, right? So if they decide to go, you know, they have a job and you know that they, you know, they're using that paycheck to, you know, maybe fund some specific goal. Maybe they want to buy something like a prom dress or whatnot. For instance, my daughter, we have a joint account together, and she wanted to save money to get her hair done for prom. And she was doing a pretty good job of this. And what I think, you know, where the app could be useful, not to say that we used it in this particular instance, but an example would be, you know, if I saw that she had that goal, or we had discussed she had that goal of saving money for getting her hair done for prom, and then I saw her moving away from that goal because she was spending money on other things, maybe like food and entertainment, this would be a really good segue into a conversation about, okay, let's talk about the money goal you had and how you're, you know, tracking with that goal. Are you on track for the goal? And that app makes that really, really easy by, you know, just some, you know, conversations you can have. You can actually, you know, react to with an emoji or a comment and things like that to spending patterns or transactions that come through the app that you're sharing. So I go into a lot more detail, obviously, in the episode. It's hard to kind of articulate that without visually showing that. And when you're listening to an audio podcast, but again, I think the app offers a very high degree of transparency and utilizes some features in there that can foster some fuller, deeper convos around money. If you're in a spouse or significant other type of relationship, I think it loses some of that power because that person is essentially your peer, right? With a child, you have a greater amount of authority over what they spend, even if you're not working the job that is allowing them to get the resources and the money to spend. But as a parent, you have that authority and that influence on their life, or at least you should, and you can have some really good conversations around it. So as for me, I've already kind of discussed that I have a more streamlined budgeting system that doesn't really need an app. And so someone in my situation has limited utility value, and that may be the same case for you, but nonetheless, I did review it and, I thought it had some, very powerful instances you can use that for, having conversations with your children. Hey there, this is Dominique. And if you're enjoying this executive summary, you're going to want to subscribe to my YouTube channel. There is so much more that I cover on a weekly basis inside the videos, and I would love for you to be a part of the community. So here's what you need to do. Just navigate to www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP to subscribe to the channel and make sure you hit that bell notification so that you can get updates as soon as we release them. Now back to the monthly podcast digest. Really early on in the month, in what I would call a rather off-the-cuff impromptu episode that I did live, I talked about what I thought makes people successful. And just for context, this was the same day that I gave a 2-hour presentation on personal finances here in Dallas. And, you know, there was a lot of questions, very good engagement, very good discussion, had a whole lot of fun, met some new people. And we were talking about, you know, money and retirement and debt and credit scores and all these different things that we normally talk about when you talk about personal finances. And it really got me to thinking about what the so what of all this was, right? You know, money is just a tool. I've talked about this before, that facilitates how you fulfill your purpose in life. You know, what really helps people move the needle is the question. You know, money obviously facilitates that, and we definitely need it. But at the end of the day, what goals do you want to achieve out of life, and what is your purpose in life, and how do you get towards that purpose? And how do you use money to do that? And so in my opinion, your results are dictated by your mindset, and that mindset has to be one of gratitude. So that is the key takeaway that I talked about in that episode. You know, when I was younger, my dad always told me, you know, Dominique, your attitude determines your altitude. And, you know, parents used to say stuff like that, that would, you know, typically go in one ear and out the other, as they say. And those what I would call now power pack statements that my parents gave me way back in the day, I didn't really fully realize that impact until I started to raise my own kids and, you know, became a parent. And the fact that your attitude does determine your altitude is a truism in life. And that attitude has to be one of gratitude. That's the only thing that really allows you to soar and what I would say have success. The large majority of people that you read about that have had success, and I'm talking about this top 1% of people that have success, they have this dialed in. They're positive in nature. They exhibit the type of behaviors that allow them to maintain that positivity by surrounding themselves with the right groups of people and doing the actions and behaviors that will continue their success and their positive attitude. So the Cliff Notes version of that particular episode, key to success, in the words of Stacy Henderson, my father, your attitude determines your altitude. I really hope you're enjoying this executive summary. And if so, I want to hear from you. You can send me your comments from the same location that you downloaded this episode. Or if you want bonus points, you can email me at info@djh-capital.com. That is info@djh-capital.com. and let me know what kind of topics you'd like for me to cover in future episodes. Look, my goal is to see you do more with your life and money, okay? Now let's get back to the podcast. Halfway through the month, I had a real treat for at least myself. I brought my oldest child, Bria, onto the podcast to talk about her thoughts about money, really. Having been raised by a financial professional, I thought her take may offer what I would call a pretty unique perspective on how the youth of today view money. She'll be 22 this summer, so I think it's apropos to call her youth of today. And I must admit that I was actually taught a lot by this episode in the fact that, you know, as a parent, one thing that I found myself worrying about, and I think most parents could agree here, is the level of influence you have on your children and how that changes from birth to as you know, adulthood. And then obviously beyond that, I haven't gotten beyond adulthood. I have one adult child, I guess two, if you count my son, who's 20 now. But the impact of influence on your children is something that is, I would say, a growing concern, right? Because you evolve, right? As they age, you realize the influence that you had when they were babies and toddlers, and then, you know, preschool, elementary, middle school, as they start to, you know, get into those teenage years, it changes. The influence always evolves because there are going to be so many different things that are vying for their attention. And where you are placed in their life. Now, you can take this one of two ways, right? You can look at yourself as the authority, and you always have that authority as a parent, blah, 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 blah. But that authority is limited, right? It's almost kind of like that authority that is given, influence that is given through authority that is due to compulsion, right? You feel compelled in order to do something, like to stay under the speed limit when you're driving. Otherwise, you will get a ticket. But what about, you know, staying under the speed limit for a better and higher use? Like, you don't want to get into an accident that would jeopardize the life of you or some other, right? You want your kids to start thinking about the authority and the influence you have in your life that way. And the only way to do that is to allow them to make mistakes, let them make choices that cause them to have either success or failure, and then to talk about that, right? So as they age, this influence changes, and it has to evolve in order for the relationship to evolve. And I can't, like I said, I can't always be that dad that says it's my way or the highway if I wanted to continue a healthy adult relationship with my children. So this particular episode, when we talked about finance, I was really surprised by some of the answers that my daughter gave, because it just reinforces and shows that some of the stuff that I was saying over and over and over and over again, you're wondering, like, are they listening? Do they hear? Do they understand? That I was affirmed that she did actually understand by some of the behavior she's been exhibiting and the words from that conversation. And then, you know, another thing I think I realized is too earlier on, and not that I'm a sage at this by any means, but that control is very illusory, right? I think control to me, especially when parenting, is like trying to grip running water. I mean, you can't do it. It just will continue to run through your hand. And really the only response really is to open your hand and just let it flow. But we talked about some of her money maturity moments as she's kind of endured 4 years of college now and is going through the next chapter of her life and moving towards more in full money independence. And this is probably a good segue as we kind of wind up what happened in this episode to plug a recent article that I wrote on LinkedIn. So if you're not connected with me on LinkedIn, you can just look me up. Dominique Henderson, CFP is what I go by on LinkedIn. In this LinkedIn article, I wrote about money graduation, which is a term that I just coined. It was when I wrote the article, I coined the term. I don't know that anybody's been using that, but you can read the article to kind of get where I'm going with money graduation, because it's essentially evolving your money awareness and money consciousness, which is very apropos for where my daughter is in life and where she's going to. But in it, I discussed the similarities that I was experiencing with just having my youngest daughter graduate from high school and my oldest daughter graduate from college. And the similarities between those events and those commencement events And what I feel that money graduation does is it's really the beginning of awareness or money consciousness around how your money is going to work harder for you than you for it. So if you want to talk more about that or want to read the article, you can obviously shoot me a DM on LinkedIn or whatever other social platform we are on together. Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, I'm on a lot of those. So you can obviously, like I said, shoot me a DM and I'll send you what I wrote. Or just shoot me an email at info@DJH-capital to get it. Hey there, this is Dominique. And if you're enjoying this executive summary, you're going to want to subscribe to my YouTube channel. There is so much more that I cover on a weekly basis inside the videos. And I would love for you to be a part of the community. So here's what you need to do. Just navigate to www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP to subscribe to the channel and make sure you hit that bell notification so that you can get updates as soon as we release them. Now back to the monthly podcast digest. All right. And how much should you be saving? This was an episode that aired, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago on the YouTube channel. I think it's always, especially in my line of work, in what I'm doing to help cultivate my tribe and community to be more money aware and do more with their life and money. This is in the classic topic rotation. Always have to kind of discuss this because this is something I run across in my business all the time is how much should I be saving, Dominique? Where should I be at this age or that age? And based on my goals and, you know, aspirations for my life, what should my money be doing at this stage? So this was actually a follow-up episode to one I did on retirement savings. But in contrast to that one, I wanted to give some very specific numbers in this episode, and really a formula for where you should be based on studies by the Certified Financial Planning Board of Standards. Now, this is not going to fit everybody, but it does give you a general rubric by which you need to kind of, be trying to work towards, right? Working towards a goal that is achievable is advisable. And sometimes it helps to just kind of write that down. But at this juncture, a lot of people don't know where they actually want to be, right? They have an inkling of where that end destination is, right? But they don't necessarily know the steps by which or the landmarks or milestones that they should be achieving in order to get to that goal. So that's what this episode was about. So I shared a chart specifically in this episode that showed you, you know, kind of based on your age range or age, what your savings rate should be. Also gave a formula for that from a book that I read called The Aspirational Investor. And I also shared like what percentage of your gross pay, your annual income, your investment should comprise, right? So depending on your age and your, you know, what you're trying to get to, you should have a certain amount of money that you're saving, and your investments should be reflected of that, or your investment percentage should be reflective of that. We're having a tongue tiedness here there. So, but anyways, like for instance, you know, investments should be, you know, 3 to 4 times your gross pay, at age 45, you know, things of that nature. So that chart is in the episode. I kind of shared that. And if you want a copy of it, I'm happy to share that too with you. You can just email me email me is probably the best way to do that. info@DJH-capital. And I will send that over to you. But that was some, what I feel very useful stuff or resources and tools. Definitely watch the whole episode, the full episode, so you can get the context, but it should be helpful in getting you into the direction you want to go towards financial independence. Thanks for taking the time with me today to listen. Just one quick question before we continue. Have you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet? If you haven't, I want to give you just one more reason to subscribe, and that is Every week, I'll provide you with the very best tools from over 20 years in the industry to take control of your finances and reach your goals faster. How's that? Let's get back to the podcast for the final segment. Now, rounding out May, I did a episode on budgeting for small business, how to do your numbers. And you know, every so often I want to make sure I offer some resources for the small business owners out there. What I do realize is, you know, being a small business owner is I'm sensitive to that plight, right? It's you're growing a business. You're trying to grow an asset. You're trying to optimize your time. You wear a ton of hats and you hear advice everywhere. And what advice to follow exactly could be, you know, somewhat of a booger bear, as the old folk would say, to understand and to disseminate and to apply. So, and I realize there are, you know, several small business owners that get information out there that really trips them up or prevents them from having the ability to be successful, not at their business per se, but at the financial part of reporting what you have done in your business, right? The effort that you put towards that enterprise of building your business, whatever that business is, you want to be able to paint the picture in your financials that would offer a banker or an investor or anybody else that is a stakeholder in maybe loaning you money or investing into your business, or proving your income for that matter. Maybe you're trying to get a mortgage or something like that. You need that other person to know the business's story. And the only way that story is told is through your financials. I mean, you can get in there and they'll talk to you and you'll be saying, yeah, I do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, somebody that is going to be in a position to loan you money or invest in your business is going to want to see the black and white of what your business actually does. And so running your books the right way and in a way such that you will be looked at favorably by one of those people, a banker, an investor, is very important. So in this episode, I covered the necessary steps with a couple of examples that show you what you need to be thinking about when it comes to presenting your financials as a business owner. Now, let me just kill the elephant in the room here, or at least speak to it. This actually came on the back of a conversation with a buddy of mine that's in real estate. And as I was kind of, and I talk about this in the video episode, the full episode, that as we were kind of going through what he's thinking about and what he was doing in his business, I was like, man, he's going about this all wrong. Because I think the notion is out there that as a business owner, you know, you have this, you have these two sides of the teeter-totter. On one side, you're a small business owner and you may be in years 1 through 5, or you may be beyond that. But the emphasis is on lowering your taxable income because you realize that unlike working a job where they take out taxes every paycheck and you settle up in April or October, whenever you decide to file, or pay or settle up, whatever your situation is. The point is, you don't have that as a business owner unless you're paying quarterly taxes. And so that tax equation and that whole management of taxes and what you pay out, or it becomes a bear. It becomes difficult to manage because your income may fluctuate. And so this becomes one of those sore spots for business owners. And you always get in, I won't say you always, but you tend to get into this habit of writing down expenses to the least common denominator so that you can reduce the amount that you have to pay out to Uncle Sam. I know it happens. I've done it before. But at the end of the day, the people that we talked about, the banker, the investor, or whoever, mortgage lender, they're going to want to see profitability, which is the other side of it, right? It's revenue minus expenses that give you this big fat profit number. They don't want to see a zero number or a non-negative number, or a negative number rather. They want to see a non-negative number, a positive number. So how do you balance that, right? That's the real question. How do you write down the appropriate amount of expenses so that your tax liability is manageable while showing your business as a healthy, growing profit machine? So that's what we kind of dig into in that episode. And I give you a page from my own book and some best practices that you should be using, or at least be thinking about using, if you're a small business owner. And it really starts with how much time you have. If you have enough time to do this and figure this out, which I don't recommend, by the way, but if you have that, then go ahead and do it. And I gave you some software to think about that. But really, honestly, you should, you know, be trying to get your business to a point where you can hire out this service to a professional and concentrate on the things that actually bring that profit to the bottom line that you're looking for. So that is what we talked about in budget for small business, how to do your numbers. So that wraps up May's executive summary, the Cliff Notes version of all our video podcasts that were posted on the YouTube channel in May. And look, if you're listening and want to become a part of the tribe, I would love to have you. I'd love to connect with you. And here's how to do that. You can obviously subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed, you should definitely go there and hit the big red button to subscribe and enable the notifications so that when we upload a new episode, you will get that notification and you won't miss anything. You can also subscribe to the blog at www.dj-capital.com/blog. There we are posting articles that coincide with the episode releases. I also post some bonus stuff there, and it's just a good way for you to keep inside the thought loop of personal finances and doing more with your money. You can also subscribe there and you'll be added to my email list, and I won't spam you. I promise. I'll only send you stuff that moves the needle and helps you get to your goals faster. And then last but not least, you can always send me an email. I love to receive emails. I read them all. That address is info@dj-capital.com, and I would love to hear from you there, so send me the email. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a comment and tell me what impacted you the most. I'd love to hear from you, like I said, and know what interests you. I'm here to help you make the bigger, better decision with your life and money. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye for now.